We are up to, is this on? No. Is this up? Okay, testing. 1, 2, 3. All right, let's begin. My boy said we are on page 352. We are finishing up the Malvim. The Malvim page, Pasik Tesvav, Vayikocheni Hashem, Hashem took me. Amos is telling us that he is responding to Amatzia. Amatzia is criticizing him. Amatzia says that you, why are you giving up a prophecy in this neighborhood? And over here we have no one is interested in listening to you. If it was up to me, I would kill you. However, the king Yeravam does not give me permission to kill you, so I have no choice but to harass you, but to try to convince you to leave this neighborhood. So he responds. The response of Amos is, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Navi, leave me alone. And Vayikocheni Hashem, I was taken against my will to be a prophet. Pasuk Tezvav on page 352, Vayikocheni Hashem, Rak Hashem, Lukhani, Vachar, Big, Negev, Ritzoni. Hashem has taken hold of me. Hashem has chosen me against my will. Vayomer Elai, Lechi, Navi, Elami, Yisrael, Shesh Lachani, B'shlichus Rak, El Yisrael Shohem Aseres Hashvatim V'loy El Shev Yud Kivarechke. He hears over here a very fascinating insight, and that is what was Amatzia saying? What was Amatzia telling Amos? He was telling him, leave this country, leave the Aseres Hashvatim, go if you have a desire to speak prophecy, so go to the Malchus of Yehuda and speak there. You'll make a parnasa. They'll be very happy to hear your nasty words about us. They are our enemies. They'll be very happy to hear not nice things about us. So he reads into the Pasuk album is that no, my prophecy is specifically directed towards Yisrael, not the Malchus of Yehuda. And that's why here in this Pasuk it says, Pasuk Tezvav, it says, Lechi Navi al Ami Yisrael, Yisrael in contrast to Yehuda. And that opens up a whole topic of discussion, and that the Nevi'im, this you have to go make a long list of all of the Nevi'im, to who, what was their tafkid? Was their main tafkid to give Nevu'ah to the Malchus of Yehuda, or was their tafkid to give Nevu'ah to the Malchus of Yisrael, or was their tafkid to give Nevu'ah to both Yehuda and Yisrael? And if we go very deep into this inyan, it's an interesting topic, because the nature of Yehuda is not the nature of Yisrael. The message that the people of Yehuda need to hear is not the same nature that the people of Yisrael need to hear. And we know today, everyone today is a specialist. You're a specialist. There's people that are specialists in teaching children. And there are people that are specialists in teaching adults. And there are people that are specialists in dealing with the Kiruv movement. And there are people that are specialists dealing with women's issues. Remember, I used to be a person in shul, used to always talk to Mincha Ma'ariv, and what did he do? He taught high school boys. That's what he did his whole life. So when he spoke to the tzibur, who was speaking to adults, he spoke to them, mamish, like he's talking to a high school boy. He could not get out his the high school boys that need to hear about sports. There's certain, you understand, you talk to a teenager, they need to hear that you talk a different language. Your whole mode of expression, the ideas you present is entirely different than when you speak to an adult, a mature adult. But this person, what did he do his whole life? He spoke to high school boys. So when he spoke to adults, he could not break away from what he was used to, the method, the tone of speaking, and he spoke to adults like you speak to a high school boy. Then you have people who speak to children. I know someone else like this. He teaches the 8th grade. He's teaching these immature kids. And when he gives shiurim for adults, he mamashi talks to adults the same way he talks to 8th graders. It's a problem, because you cannot break away from what you are accustomed to. If you're accustomed to talking in a certain manner, you have the problem the other way around. When you have rabbanim who talk to adults, and they're invited to come and talk to, bring them into an elementary school and talk to 3rd graders, they can't do it. They just don't know how to talk to a 3rd grader. The way you talk to a 3rd grader is not the way you talk to balabatim in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 70s. It's not the same. So think over here. When it comes to a Navi, the nature of speaking to the Malchus of Yisrael is not the same needs, the same nature of speaking to the Malchus of Yehuda. It's not the same. It's an entirely... Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back from the Holy Land.
You're the one who brought the coat.
Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Good to see you. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. As long as you're not leaking.
Mark, you got to bring back the
cigar. Okay, so it's not the same. It's not the same nature, and that is a chiddush. Over here, when you study all the Nevi'im, you have to study and see which Nevi'im's mission was to speak to the Malchus of Yehud, and which Nevi'im's mission was to speak to the Malchus of Yisrael. Here he explicitly says that my purpose, Lechi Navi El Ami Yisrael, my purpose is to speak to the Malchus of Yisrael. So don't tell me that I should get out of here and go to the Malchus of Yehud and speak to them. That's not what my tafkid is. It's not going to work. Okay, Pasuk Tezayin. Again, page 352, Tezayin, Viato, and now, Shmad Hashem, Ulam Ato, Nemro, Lo, Nuvua, Hadosha, Shlemibi, Mikoidem, Husha, Yishol, Golo, Yiglem, Yal, and Moso, Vizel Shamata, Shma, Ki, Zen, Nuvua, Shemischach, Loi, Ato, Loi, Yidatil, Mikoidem. At this moment in time, Hashem reveals himself to Omois, and Hashem puts in his mouth a new Nuvua to give over immediately. Here, for the very first time, at this moment in time, does Omois say, indeed, you will go into exile. You lied. Your lies will come true. Radak emphasized this point. If you want to lie, watch out what you lie about, because your lies may come true. Ato Oimer, you say to me, Lo Tinovi, Alami Yisrael, Shle Anabi Nebu Asida Meha Asid, Love Elehem, Vegan Kavan Kavanoscha, Larak Lalicham Lachzibam Lebuto, Loi Tatif, you have warned me not to give over prophecy and not to speak. Hatofa Kitana Minavu. Over here in the parentheses, he writes, Hatofa is a Navua Kitana, like he says in the Ver Hamilos. Mitzad Shem Beis Yisrael, V'yishaku V'yilagu Al Teichachtecha. You're telling me not to speak. I'm telling you, I have what to say. Pasuk Yitzayin the Malbum, L'chein Koyam Hashem Mishcha Yibuya Tizneh. V'zeh Mida Kinegin. The Malbum is coming to explain why was it a proper punishment that his wife, the wife of Amatzia, should be Mizaneh. So he says this indeed is a proper punishment. Why Kishol Be'ovdom Elohim Achirim Yisdamu Kizoyna Hazoyna Mi'al Aluf Ne'ureha. This is Mishle. Oh, the whole Mishle. We learned Mishle together once upon a time. We should learn it again. Forgot everything. Okay, new insights since then. but he's saying it's me that Klal Yisrael's relationship, Klal Yisrael's relationship with Hashem is like a man married to a woman, and when a person goes astray and worships idols, ignores Hashem, it's as if you are committing adultery. Therefore, since you are Matzah, you are the Kohen Gadol, you are the one who is leading Klal Yisrael in committing adultery against Hashem. Therefore, it's only fitting me to connect me that your own personal wife should commit adultery and betray you. Vanirat Sisi Lahashivam Lashem. Omoi says to Amatzia, it is my desire to make them do teshuvah, to inspire them to do teshuvah. The Ata, you are Matzia, you the Kohen Gadol for the idol, for the Egel Hazav. Tazne Oisam Leluhim Acherim, you're causing them to go astray. The Chaintizne Ishra, therefore, Mido Kenegin Mido, your wife will go astray. It's not going to be that she'll be taken a captive, that she'll be, it'll happen against her will. Visham Tizne. Rakbu, you're at Tizne, in the city she will commit adultery, but who key, in other words, she'll do it willingly. What's the story? When the son of Zechariah, okay, he's telling us exactly when this happened. When the son of Yeravam, who is the king at this moment in time? Yeravam. Yeravam is the king. Yeravam did not give Amatzia permission to execute Amos. Eventually, Yeravam will die a natural death. Who will succeed him on the throne? Zechariah. But Zechariah ben Yeravam will be assassinated by a person by the name of Shalom. V'omad Shalom ben Yovesh. Shalom ben Yovesh. Rotzel levat lesavodas ha'egel. Now this fellow, Shalom ben Yovesh, was a good guy. Why was he good? Because he was the one who finally wanted to put an end to idol worship. Okay, we really only focused later on Hoshea. The last of the kings of Yisrael was a good guy. Hoshea, not to be confused with the Navi Hoshea. There was a Melech called Hoshea, and he wanted to put an end to the Avodah Zarah, and the people were very upset, very disturbed. They did not want Avodah Zarah to come to an end. They wanted to continue worshipping Avodah Zarah. So what did they do? They wanted to get rid of Hoshea. And they spoke, they slandered, they were moister, they gave him over to the king of Ashur. So he's telling us here the Malbim that not only did Hoshea, the last king of Israel, want to put an end to Avodah Zarah, his predecessor, Shalom, also wanted to put an end to the Avodah Zarah. Levatos Golem, Al Yidei Kein Hoya, Mered, what happened? There was a rebellion. The people could not tolerate the end of idolatry. There was a Mered, Umulchama, Ben Kitois, Am Zebo Zeb. So there was a civil war. Look what happened. Yeravam dies. His son Zechariah takes over the Malchus. Zechariah continues to do evil things, to worship the Egil Hazav. Along comes a fellow by the name of Shalom ben Yavesh, who is a tzaddik. And he comes along and he kills, he assassinates the king who is a Rasha, who is Oyver Avodah Zarah. And he inspires the people to do teshuva. It was, people did not want to do teshuva. The people were already so heavily, so deeply entrenched in idolatry, they couldn't break away. So they went and a civil war broke out in the country. Two sides. What?
Within Malchus
Yisrael, a civil war broke out. There were those that sided with the king who wanted to put an end to Avodah Zarah, and there are those who sided with Amatzia and the old school who wanted to continue worshipping Avodah Zarah. In the process,
do they have to have some kind of a vein if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah? What do they have from? What's the
pleasure? Pleasure, hanah.
You mean the way they worship it was?
It was pleasurable, just like we don't understand. Just like today, a person has pleasure in eating, a person has pleasure in arayos. Here they are in noshim. There's a certain pleasure. So too, there was a pleasure in worshipping idols. We don't relate to this because we know.
Those two things you mentioned were part of that.
Was the goal. Yes. The goal of worship, Chazal say, the goal of worshipping idols was in order to break down the rules, the morals of arayos. That's what Chazal say. The purpose of the Zohar was to be matir, forbidden relations. You create a new ideology where a man can live with his friend's wife, or a man can live with his closest relatives, or a man can have multiple wives, things, all these type of things. And the purpose of, the deep purpose of Avodah Zarah was in order to be matir, forbidden relations. That's what Chazal say. But we know it's more than that. We know clearly that there was also a pleasure, there was also a Yetzer Hara, which it's a well-known Gemara, Masechet Megillah, where at the time of the Bayis Sheni, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was mispalel to Hashem, that if you allow the Yetzer Hara to continue, we don't stand the fighting chance. And a miracle happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to capture the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Chazal tells us there was another thing they allowed. They were mispalel that no one should have a taiva for Noshim. Okay, man should not have a taiva, that the Yetzer Hara for Anoshim, for Arayos, should also come to an end. And it did. It did. The only problem was the day after, there were no eggs. The chickens were not laying eggs because it's all or nothing. It's if man does not have a taiva for an isha, it takes away the way it's the way of the world. Then it's not possible. It's not the world cannot possibly exist. So they were mispalel to Hashem that Hashem should bring it back, but not fully. Chazal say it means bring it back 50%. 50%. Now, what does it mean 50%? So you can take it literally. That, can you imagine today, people have a taiva for nashim, hormones, taiva, whatever it is, for nashim. Could you imagine if it would be double? You couldn't walk in the streets. If you would see a woman, you would go crazy. You would the taiva would be so strong you couldn't think about anything. People anyway have a problem. People today, without it, being only 50% of what it is, have a hard time seeing a woman and not having a hirhurim thoughts of what he can possibly do to get close to her. So there was double. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that the our taiva for nashim today is the same. The difference is for relatives. So we don't appreciate that today, generally, a man has no taiva for a relative. A man, it's a sickness for a man to have a taiva for his mother, his grandmother, his sister, okay, his daughter. Okay, even though there are sickos today, we all know that, okay, but that's the exception. Okay, it's not normal. It's not a normal thing that a person has the Yetzirah for his closest relatives. We don't understand that in ancient times it was not like that. That the same way a man has a taiva for his friend's wife, this is a real problem today. Go to the workplace, people by the goyim, by the Jews also, it's a very big problem of an eshes ish. So it was a very big problem one's closest relatives. So that they were mispalel to bring back the yetzar for nasha, but at least don't bring it back for relatives. It's a very interesting thing that today. Why talk is it so that a normal person doesn't have a taiva for his closest relatives? And when it comes to an Eishes Ish, he does have a taiva. What's the difference? It's something which we think we understand, oh, because we're used to them, they're our relatives, and when we see them all the time. Okay, you can rationalize it all you want. But if you really, really want to do a psychoanalysis of why this is so, it really doesn't make any sense. It's a hashkocha that's lemala miderech hateva, why a person does not possess a yetzahara for his relatives the same way he possesses gezuntad yetzahara for a non-relative. Okay, the goyim will refuse to acknowledge that it's lemala miderech hateva such a thing. But Chazal say it is. Chazal say that this difference a person is able to, because the entire thing why a person is a Yetzirah cannot be explained scientifically. We know there are hormones, and we attribute it to this different chemicals in the body that are produced by hormones, and we try to understand why Rachmana Litzlan, there are sick people, men have a taiva for men, a woman for a woman, things like that. Okay, we'll talk about this forever and ever, all different scientific theories behind all of these things. But Chazal say basically all of this is purely lemaila miderech hateva. It's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created barasi yetzer hara, barasi Torah tavan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a force that's beyond our understanding. It's something which appears not to be 100% science. It's something that is super supernatural, and we take it for granted, and we try to assume it, to attribute it to chemicals in the body. But Chazal say it's not true. And if you look, and if you study, you'll see, you can prove it's not something which is physical, it's something which is, because why is it that when it comes to your closest relatives, you do not have this passion, this lust? And all of the psychology to explain, because you see them all the time, and this, and this, and this, and this, it all sounds very good on paper, but when you delve deep into the science behind it, it doesn't really make any sense. And it's all based upon history of the Yetzirah, Anshei Kines HaGadoyla, v'chulu v'chulu. So here we have, here in the Malbim, it was during the tail end of the Aseres HaShvatim, the Malchus, we have over here a series of kings, Shalom, and then the very end was Hoshea, and they decided enough of the nonsense, it's time to cut out the nonsense, let's go back and worship Hashem, serve Hashem, and let's abolish the Avodah Zarah. The people at this point in time were so heavily entrenched in what they're used to, in worshiping idols, you can't take it away from them. You just can't. They just, it's a sickness. They're addicted, and their addiction led to a civil war. In the civil war, who was on the wrong side? Amatzia, the Kohen Gadol of the temple of the golden eagle, the golden calf. He was, so therefore, he obviously wanted to continue his parnasa was on the line. What's going to be parnasa? What's going to be with his children? So he was on the. He wanted to continue. He was part of the rebellion, but he had to run away. His life was threatened. The king and his forces at some point were on the rise, and he had no choice but to run away. And he's giving us his background. And it says here the last line on the page, on page 352, V'ozborach ha-koyen u'meis b'chutz l'aretz u'bonav u'v'noisav nergu al di-hamelech. Who did they die by? They died, he tells very, if you, all the Mepharshim didn't tell us how they died. If you read, they read the Psukim, so I always thought they died. The Goyim, Sancheirif, eventually came to town and he killed them. That's not what it says. It says he was killed by Shalom. His children were killed in this civil war. There was a civil war happening during the tail end of the Aseres HaShvatim. Should they continue worshipping idols or should they not? And his children were killed by the Melech. The Ishtoi and his wife, what happened to his wife? The Ishtoi, we turn now to the page 355. Okay, the Geichi Zoyon Laham album. His wife was killed. Was a Zoyna Umufkeres. His wife, he committed adultery in the open. Ve'asayf Yeshi Yisrael Gola Yigla. The end was going to be that the entire Jewish people would go into exile. Me'alad Masa Kiyaz Nechritza Ha'gezera. The verdict was etched in stone. It was decided that it would be Golas. Umivor B'Yishaya Simin Zayin Shnemer Oz La'omois. All this is mentioned there in Sefer Yeshaya, that this will happen 65 years from the time that he spoke. What he's saying over here will take place 65 years from the moment that he had this conversation with Amatzia. He has conversation, Amatzia goes to Yeravam. Yeravam will be a good idea to execute Amos. Yeravam says, no, it's not in my best interest, let him live. He goes back and he says to Amos, no, I can't kill you, but I can at least revoke your worker's permit. Your green card is going to be revoked. Get out of here. Get out of this country. They had this conversation, he insulted him, and Amos said to him, how dare you talk to me like that? And let me tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. Your children are going to die, and your wife's going to be a zona. This prophecy will happen 65 years from the moment Amos spoke to Amatzia. That's what it says in Sefer Yeshaya. Okay, Shnemar Ozla Amos Shazeya Achashishim Shulcham Shonim V'Loi Kosvam Beferish Mebnei Ayira. Now, why doesn't it say it here explicitly? Because he was afraid. Because if you get him too angry, even though he does not have permission to kill him, who knows? He'll take the law into his own hands. He'll be a vigilante. Fine. The word hos means silence. Okay, well, says that's the next part. That's going to be...
No.
We said before. Right? We said hos means silence.
No. He's talking about the remez of the word, which, okay.
I didn't get that. Very, very good. Hos is Bigamatria 65. Okay, and we have the word Hos. We have the word, we're going to have the word Hos in the next parak. Okay, the next parak, Ches, Pasik, Gimel. We're going to have the word Hos, and Hos, remember, it's going to happen in 65 years from now. Okay, so that concludes the Malbim.
Now there's going to be a zone in 65 years? That doesn't make sense.
No, the Golos. I think the 65 years refers to the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim entirely. His children will die before that. His wife will be a zona before that, but the last point he made, the last thing that Amos said to Amatzia, is that the entire nation, the entire Aseres HaShvatim, will go into Golos. When will this happen? In 65 years from today. Okay, that concludes the Malbim. Now, there's a few more very beautiful things to see. Let's take a first look at the Likutei Shas, a few Mamori Chazal, some very nice Mamori Chazal, and then we're going to do the Mincha Gedoyla and the Chidah, short Chidah. But let's go back to where we started from. We started from Pasuk Yud. Okay, back to Pasuk, back on page 348. Okay, we're back to page 348. Going through the story again, now I'm going through with the Gemaras and the Midrashim. on the bottom of page 348, Vayishlach Amatzah Kohen Beis El El Yeravim Yimelech Kishol Lemar Koshar Olachav Amas. Go back to the beginning of the story. There is a person in this community that is forming a rebellion. He's forming a conspiracy. He's preaching that you're going to die, that you're going to be assassinated. You know, if you let him continue preaching that you're going to be assassinated, it'll be a self-fulfilled prophecy. People will get up and they'll kill you. Therefore, I advise you, I'm your top advisor, we should execute this fellow by the name of Omos. He is a Moire de Malchus. Freedom of speech only goes that far. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, the name of Zocha Yeravim Ben Yehuda. Now, what happened? What was the story mentioned a few times? Yeravim said, no, don't kill him. And yesterday, what did we do yesterday? We made the contrast between Yeravim and Gedalia Ben Achikam. They were very similar. Both of them were told, were advised, that there is a fellow who's coming to kill them, who's out to kill them. Gedalia should have listened. Gedalia should have taken into consideration that indeed there was a person by the name of Yochanan, it was Yishmael, a Jew that was going to kill him. It's Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. Everyone loves me. No one's going to kill me. And because he did not take seriously the report, the CIA report, that there's someone out to get him, he indeed was killed. He indeed was assassinated, and that was a horrible event in Jewish history, for which we fast every single year, the day after Rosh Hashanah, and that we still live with the consequences. We mentioned this yesterday, the consequences of that, because the land, because of that assassination, was unoccupied for 52 years. When the land of Israel is unoccupied, that allows the Goyim to come into the land, to take possession, and then to claim to us, to rewrite history, we never owned this land. Look, you never existed. You never lived here. The land was empty. You have taken this land, your occupiers. Where do they get that koyach? Where does that koyach to say that we're occupiers come from? It comes from the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam. That assassination was the trigger for the last remnant of the Jewish people to flee the Holy Land. The land was left completely vacant for 52 years, which opened up the path for the Palestinians and for Chol HaNilvim Olav to claim that we never had possession of this land, and we're coming to take over land that's not ours. Of course, the Bais Sheni, they took it back for 420 years, but it was a breach. It was a major breach in the continuity of the land being in the possession of the Jewish people. Maise Ovoy Simon Lebanon. Okay, Vayishlach Amasiv. Now that's the chet of Gedalia. He did not take seriously the words of advice. However, Omoy but Yeravim was the same exact thing. He was advised that there's a person who wants to kill him. And he said, you know what, I'm not listening to you. But Yeravim did not listen for the right reasons. He was able to discern that the report of Amatzi was sheker. It was indeed not true. And here the Gemara tells us it was a mile of him. Omar B'Yochanan, Mebnei Mazoch Yeravim ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael Limonis, Ba'kos of Malche Yehuda. Now this is being very, very bizarre. The Yeravim is the king of Yisroel. Yet, he is listed in Divrei Hayamim. He's listed as one of the Malchei Yehuda. How could that be? He's not telling us the source over here. Well, he's listed as the Malchei Yehuda. Why? B'nei Sheloi Kibel Lashon Hara Al Amos. Because of this story. Amatzia says to him that he's trying to assassinate you. It's not true. He never said it. He never, ever said he's going to assassinate. It's a lie. And he learned, Menolon, where's the source? Where do you know that he's listed amongst the Malachi Yehuda and not the Malachi Yisrael? I told you it's from Divrei Hayom. I made a mistake. It's from Divrei Hosheya. It says in Hosheya, the very first pasuk, Divar Hashem Shachoye El Hosheya Ben Be'eri, Hosheya, a Navi, Ben Be'eri, Bimei Uziyo, Yoisom, Ochoz, Yechizkiyo, Malchi Yehuda, Uvimei, Yeravim ben Yoyosh, Melech Yisrael. In one pasuk, it lists all of the kings of Yehuda and the corresponding king of Yisrael. This is an anomaly. It's not done like this. You don't have other psukim like this where we list together the kings of Yehuda and the kings of Yisrael. They're so separate. They're so far apart. We don't put these two together. They are kept separate. And here we have an anomaly where they're put together. Why? It was in reward because of he was not mekabel lashon hara. Uminal lekibel lashon hara. How you know? It says in the positive. Vayishach hamatzi b'akod meisel olivam b'melach Yisrael lemar kasha lecha. Uchsevit says chaya amos b'cherev yamus yiravam. Amar chas v'shalom. Amar oisit tzadikach. He lied to the king. The pasuk says that Amatziah said to Yeravam that Amos said you're going to die, you're going to be assassinated. Yeravam responded, "You're a liar." Chas v'shalom, he never said such a thing. V'yamamar mo'esa, and if indeed he did say, what could I do? Shechina amrulai, he's a navi. It's not his words. So can you imagine he was such a tzaddik? Yeravam was a tzaddik. This Yeravam ben Yoyash was a tzaddik towards the tail end of the Aseres HaShvatim. And because of this, he merited to be listed for posterity together with the tzaddikim of the Malchei Yehuda. Now the problem though is, now even though he's a tzaddik, but he's not a pure tzaddik because he did not abolish the worship of the Egel Hazav. So he was a tzaddik in one respect, but not a tzaddik in another respect. And that sums up a very powerful limud Musar, that no one is perfect. Just because a person has skeletons in the closet does not take away from the fact that he has other milos which make him very, very special. We have a tendency in today's day and age that if you find one minor defect in a gadol, the ganze person is treif. You have a great person, and there's one thing about him that's no good, that's it. Throw him in the garbage. He's worthless. That's a terrible mistake. There's no one that's perfect. Everyone has chesroinus. But there are certain people who have accomplished incredible things for Klal Yisrael. They've done for Klal Yisrael very, very great, very noble acts of kindness, of chesed, and they've accomplished very, very great things. Okay, they have a problem. They have a deficiency in certain areas of their life. All right, so you're any better? Are we any better? No one's perfect. But just because there's a chesed in one part of their life, does that mean that the person is already treif? Chaz or treif, you throw them out in the garbage. So we live in that world today. We live in a very narrow world where if you find the chasaron, that's it. The guy's treif. You see from the Malchei Yehuda, the Malchei Yisrael, here you have a person, Yeravam and Yoyash. He was a problematic person. He worshipped the Egel Hazaf. He worshipped Avodah Zarah. He didn't do anything about it. He let the people do it. He's responsible. And because his children were wiped out. But yet, in another respect, he gets 5-star praise from the Ribbono Shel Olam in respect to something which the average person is nichshol in, lashon hara. Someone goes and says to him, lashon hara, and he says, chas v'shalom, he would say something like that about me. And if he did say it, you know something, he's right, because the shechina is midaberes mitach groina. So isn't that amazing? He was a tzaddik in this respect. You don't shlomo. I told you this many times that the people in their life they make two mistakes. The first mistake is they think when they're very young and naive that gedolei Yisrael are perfect. They don't make any mistakes. They're mamish. They're God. They're greater than God on a pedestal. Okay. Unfortunately, we do that. We're guilty of that. Okay. We put them on a pedestal. They're mamish. They're das Torah. They're perfect. Then we get older. We realize, you know, something, they're not perfect. They got plenty of flaws. A lot of problems. So we made a big mistake. We made a very big mistake when we were young in thinking that they were perfect. We made a mistake. That triggers mistake number two. Oh, once we discover they have flaws and they made mistakes, they made big mistakes, as big water bugs, mistakes, major mistakes, major scandals, major mistakes. Oh, they made big mistakes. The chazer treif. Take all the books and burn them. If anyone ever wrote a book about them, something nice, go to the archives, burn every, do a book burning to burn the books. That's mistake number two. You're right. You made mistake number one. You thought he was perfect. You now realize he's not perfect. Okay. But don't make mistake number two. He's still a gadol. They still wrote a book about him for a reason. They wrote a book for a reason because he does have attributes, milos, that the average person does not have. And the average person has what to learn from him. So mistake number two is just because you discover that he's not perfect doesn't mean that you take the person and the person becomes a chazer. It's not so. He's still a great person. He's a great person and has areas of his life that need improvement or could have been better. No, that's the way it goes. They say Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber, who's Rav Baruch Ber's Rebbe? Rav Chaim. So Rav Baruch Ber, he worshipped Rav Chaim. He worshipped him like mamash, like he was God. He lived in his shadow. So they once were chepping. See, those days, it wasn't like today, they were able to chep a gedolim. They chepped a baruch ber, and they said to him, Rebbe, how come you're so enamored by Rav Chaim, your Rebbe? Your Rebbe was tone deaf. He couldn't carry a tune, even if his life depended on it. And you, Rav Baruch Ber, he was a phenomenal Baal Menagin. He had a beautiful voice. He was a Baal Menagin. He was very, very musical. So you see, you're better than your Rebbe. What are you so enamored by the Rebbe, Rav Chaim? Rav Chaim, the Briskas, they're not known to be from the Meshoyerim. They're known to be from the Shoyarim, the gatekeepers, not from the singers. Rav Meir, you're a Levi, right?
They're the
gatekeepers. Rav Meir, you're a Levi, right? You're a Levi?
Yeah.
You're a Levi. So what are you? Are you from the Shoyarim or the Meshoyerim?
No. I sing, but my lips are closed.
Okay, so they shepherded him. So you know what he said? You know what he said? He said, there's no such thing in this world as being perfect. He said that in a Hanami. He didn't say, oh, my Rebbe, there's no, Hashem does not make in this world perfect people. No such thing. That's right. My Rebbe did not get that Milo. He's tone deaf. He can't sing. And he says, it's me, but he has another Milo. He has the Koich of Torah. He was a real Talmud Chacham. So he put himself down and he says, no, me, they didn't give me that gift of being a Talmud Chacham, even though we don't look at it like that. So in Shemayim, you know, they got to give every person something. You got to throw every creature something to make him feel good about himself. So they gave me the ability to sing. Very nice. So Hashem threw me a bone. He gave me the ability to sing. But in a Hanami, my Rebbe is not perfect. My Rebbe is not perfect. He wasn't created with the koyach of negina, of music, of talent. He didn't have that talent. Okay, so again, that's a klinikai relative to people who have scandals in their life. Okay, scandals who, you know, whether it's dinei memoinois, or dinei noshim, women, or matters of midois toivois. All right, but you can't deny the fact that the people that they write books about, there's a reason why they write books about them. It's because there was something about them that was very unique, very special. And
they don't want you to write books about
I don't know. Today, I think today the people have come around quite a bit. Who are you afraid of? Who are these make believe people who are afraid of? Oh, don't say this because it's not politically correct. Is everyone today so naive?
Yes.
I don't know. I think today there's been a shift. I think it's true. Years ago, it was why? Because years ago, we were more dignified. 15, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there was more dignity. There was more dignity in society. So you didn't write certain things in Gedolim books. Today, society is not dignified. So Adarab, it's almost become like a mila to write about certain Gedolim. Things have changed a little bit. yeah, when he was a child, he did this, he did this. I personally see a bit of a shift. A little bit of a shift. Everyone is such a tippish today. Everyone is so naive to say that years ago, you're embarrassed that years ago by their wedding, there was mixed seating, there was mixed dancing. So people are so naive. You know, you got to give a human being some credit. Not everyone is such a tippish. The people that I know, everyone here is not like this. The people that I hang out with in yeshiva, they're not so naive. They're not so naive. All the yeshivas, not everyone is a cleaner cup. Like they had this thing. I was this thing about mental health. Okay, to break the stigma of mental health. So Taka, you say like I heard this from the person. I was at a wedding. And the person who was getting married. It was interesting. The wedding, it was a Hasidish girl. Okay, the girl is a girl, Hasidish, mamish, a Hasidish family. The father wears a strimal. The family is a real Hasidish family. And the girl, she married a chassid. She married a real heavy-duty, whole 9 yards. Somehow, I know the father. I was invited to the wedding. So I was sitting by the wedding. And so the girl is, how old is the girl? 20, 22, 21, 22. A Hasidish girl, she married a chassid. She works. She's a very smart girl, and she went to Brooklyn College, and she has a degree in mental health, and she works in a very big clinic. And there at the wedding, I was sitting at the table with the director, not a director, but one of the main people who runs this clinic, one of these clinics. And I just said, "Hello, who are you? How you come to Chasta?" And he works with her. So here there's this girl, Hasidisha family, and the way he was talking, he knows her so well. they work together, a Hasidisha girl, with this young, good-looking, geschmack guy. I don't even know if he's married. And like, oh, you're going to go tell me, all the Hasidim, they're so sheltered. I mean, the proof is in the pudding over here, obviously. And then he started talking about mental health, and he says that they have a clinic in, where was the clinic? I don't remember, from Williamsburg. He says it used to be people would not walk on that side of the street where the clinic is. Chas v'shalom. Someone should see them walking on that side of the street. They might be choshed that they're going into the clinic or they're coming out of the clinic. And that means they suffer from mental illness. And they're on medication, and it's going to ruin all their shidduchim, the family, it's a bush uchlima. People would not walk down the block. Chas v'shalom. And he explained to me, today we've come a very long way since that, when he first started working, where people today, they understand quite a bit of it's nothing to be ashamed of. And everyone, to some degree, can use a therapist or can use a little medication also to keep them straight. So he says the stigma, he was talking about the stigma. The stigma, what is stigma? Ignorance. Pure ignorance. That's what stigma is. Ignorance. You educate the people, then there's no... Well, people, the grandparents by their wedding they had mixed seating. Oh, so right away you think, who knows? Well, yeah, shaitim, shiba shaitim. I mean, everyone is so stupid today. People are not so stupid today. People are curious. They know it's not. I don't know, but on the other hand, we're still very afraid. You know, we're still very completely correct. But I think, I don't know, I sort of sense there's a bit of a shift. Let's go a little bit further. So now let's take a look over here. This is the Maimon Chazal. It's an incredible Musar Haskel. Yeravam ben Yoyash was a Rasha. He was an Oyver Avodah Zarah. But he's a tzaddik. He's a bigger tzaddik than almost everyone else in the whole Klal Yisrael. Because why? He was not Mikabel Lashon Hara. So in the big picture of things, who do you think he stands? He's a good guy. Okay, Avodah Zarah knew, you have a Yetzirah, you'll get over it. Lashon Hara is a pretty serious thing. That's a real sickness. Avodah Zarah is not a sickness. It's a problem. It's a problem. Lashon Hara is a real sickness. And he was not sick. He knew to stay away from Lashon Hara. Avodah Zarah, so knew. Join the club.
Lashon Hara would make him kill
someone. Yeah, it's much worse. That's the Musar Haskil you take out of this Maimer Chazal. Don't make the two mistakes. Don't think anyone is perfect. And when you find out that they're not perfect, don't go view them Chazer Treif. They're still good people.
Our religion doesn't believe in perfect people. Think perfect believers.
Look, there's a whole parsha. If a melech does an avera, he has to bring a certain karbon. If the kohen gadol does an avera, if the Sanhedrin does an avera, you have three major sections teaching us about the leadership of the three major branches of leadership of Klal Yisrael: the court, the kohen gadol, and the king. Each one of them has a parsha. Asher nasi yecheta, asher kohen yecheta. And then the parsha of when the Sanhedrin, when the court makes a major mistake in halacha, they have to bring special korbanos. Torah is not embarrassed. Torah doesn't idolize anyone. The Ramban says about Avram Avinu, chata chet gedoyla. He committed the worst chata gedoyla. Avram Avinu, you would think, who knows what he did. He committed the most grievous sin in the world. He did not have faith in Hashem. There was a famine, and he went down to Egypt. The Ramban doesn't mince words. He criticized Avram Avinu. He was chotech chet gedoyla. Torah always magnifies the minor imperfections of people. So this is a powerful musa right out of the Gemara, out of Masech, the Pesachim, Pezayin. Okay, if today they would probably have to censor this. They would never be able to write the Gemara today. It's not politically correct. It's not politically correct, and it's too rough. Things we don't want to hear. Pasuk Yudalf, next man Chazal. Koymar Omos. Bacherev Yomos. You're going to die by sword. Yiravam Yisrael Gol Yiglam Yalad Masa. Rabbi Yosef Meir. Bevo Oyit Shishim Chomei Shonet. So we learned the last thing. 65 years from the day that Omos gave over his prophecy, Yechas Ephraim, they will be diminished. They will be as of the people. The that year was the fourth year of the king of Ochaz, one of the kings of Yehuda. Ev Shalom Arkein. Ela Shahoisa Gzera Gzura Bime Omos Shinasim with Neharash. How do you know that? What's the source? The Gezerah was already put into motion 2 years before the earthquake. That was a critical moment in Jewish history. The earthquake when Uzziah offered Kitoires on the Mizbeach. Uzziah was the king. And this is where the world came to an end. When people did not know their place. When a person does not know his place in society, that is the end. He was the king. A king is not a kohen. It's not your place to bring ketores. He brought ketores. At the moment when he brought ketores, that was the beginning of the end. An earthquake shattered the entire Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. There was horrible consequences. And it was a major moment, a major watershed moment in the history of the Jewish people when there was a breakdown in the gevulois, in the boundaries of Klal Yisrael. Har Sinai, last week's parasha, Matan Torah, Hagbel es ha'om v'ki dashtoi. Moshe goes here, Aaron goes here, the Zekanim go here, and everyone else goes there. Know your place. Know your place. Don't step over your boundaries. And this emphasized over and over in the beginning of Matan Torah. And here was the moment in Jewish history when the boundaries were broken, where it became the land of the free. Everyone can do whatever they want, and even the melech can bring ketores. Okay, that's why people get all worked up. They say the women of the wall. Okay, and all of this is a very big breach. Women have a place. It's not their place to be in this location to do these type of things. And it's not that this is when you have this type of situation where people are stepping over their bounds and where their mokoim is, this is very serious. It may seem very minor. It seems big deal. Well, what's the big deal? So no, you can legitimize anything. He must have had a billion reasons why the Kohen God, the Melech, in this instance, is allowed to offer Ketores. The bottom line is, there are markers. There's a Kohen, there's a Levi, there's a Yisrael. There are 10 levels of Yichus in Klal Yisrael. And each level has limitations that cannot be severed, whether you like it or not. And it may seem not fair, but life is not fair. Since when is life fair? Life has never been fair. Next. I brought you into the land of Avosechem and Nesedlechem Beis HaBechira. I have given you the Beis HaBechira. Amarti lechem loisiyu goylem mimena leolam. Hashem begged us not to do Averos, which caused us to go into Golos Kevan. Shamartem ein lanu chelek b'David. Af ani amarti lechem v'yishol goylem yiglem yalad masai. So here is a Sifrei. And the Sifrei says, Yeravam ben Nevat. When Yeravam ben Nevat broke away from the Malchus of Yehuda, who is the Malchus of Yehuda? David. David, Yehuda is the Malchus. Lo Yosef Shevim Yehuda, David Melech Yisrael. When the 10 Shvatim, what's the word in English? It's a tongue twister for me. Seated? Seated. How do you spell that? How do you spell it? Seceded. When the Aseres Hashvatim seceded from the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, they were in essence saying, Ein lanu chelek b'David. So Hashem says, oh, Ein lanu chelek b'David. Now the day will come, you will have no chelek in Klal Yisrael. Golo yigla mi'alad masol. This is the first time that at least Amos is saying these words, the Golos, you're going to be exiled. It's a little bit ironic that the king has the same name as the different king entirely. It's how many years? 100 years apart, more than 100 years apart. The king that seceded from Klal Yisrael was Yeravam ben Nevat. And the Nevuah of Golo Yigla Mielad Mosai took place during the Malchus of Yeravam ben Yoyash. Hashem has a little irony, there's the same name. The king has the same name, even though it's not the same king, it's all more than 100 years apart. And he wasn't the king when the Golos began. The Golos began a couple of kings later. He had a son, Zechariah. Zechariah was killed by Shalom, and Shalom was not the last one either. Who came after? Hoshea was the last king. And before Hoshea, there was some more. There was a couple of before. There was Menachem, Pekachia, Pekach. They were all very short-lived, very, very short reign. And the last one was Hashem, but this was the tail end. This is the last 40 years. From the time of Zechariah until the Golos, there were 60 years. 60 years until the Golos. From the time of the death of Yeravam, after Yeravam died until the Golos happened, it was another approximately 65 years. Like we learned of it, Hus. 65 years. We're now at the tail end. All right, that concludes the Mari Chazal. Now let's take a look at the Chidah. Chidahs are always very delicious. Okay, Chidah. We're not finished yet. We didn't finish the Mari Chazal. Okay, next page. Page 350. Okay, some more interesting Mari Chazal on page 350. Vayan Omois. We discussed this, all different ideas. What is not a Navi? You are a Navi. So here we have a Chazal, which is another twist. All of the prophets were wealthy people. Minolan. All of the prophets were wealthy. We learn Dover Shay Bechlal, Yatsa Menachlal Lelamed, Loyalatsma Yatsa, Ella Lelamel Kolaklal Kula Yatsa. Was Moshe a rich man? Psalchot, Psoilas. He got the Psoilas. He was. The Moshe, now let's see over here. And then we call him Moshe Shmuel, almost Miyon, almost the Sivaya, Hanan, the Gemara goes through all of them. Are we only going to focus on only one? On Amos. How do you know he was wealthy? Vayan, Amos, Vayomel amatzia loynavi anochi v'leber anavi anochi ki voiker anochi voiles shikmim ki the kargim Rabbi Yosef and arei more geise. Geise means cattle. I am a master of cattle, and of the shikmin li bishfelta, I have sycamore trees in the lowlands. So I am well diversified. I'm wealthy. Ki bal nikna ani v'shikmim li b'shvela. Next, chavivi hi amalacha. It's chaviv to work to make a parnasa. How do you know this? Shekol hanivim nisasku ba. All of the prophets had a job. All the prophets had a day job. What happened? Niskadnu hadayros. Niskadnu hadayros. That's what happened. But Amay Suimer, it says, Ki Vaikar Nachi Voila Shikmim, I'm a biker. He have a job. He wasn't embarrassed. I work in the fields. I work with animals. I work with animals, Uboila Shikmim, and I work, I mix whatever feed I feed the animal, all the depression we had. Okay. Vaik, the Rabbam says anyone that gets married before he has the Parnasa is a shaita. The Rabbam says that. So what happened? What happened? Niskanu hadoros. That's what happened. Navi.
But the young Navi wasn't rich. At least he wasn't rich. They were poor.
Chazal said they were all rich. I don't know what to say.
You can be rich and still live.
Not have money. You can do that. And she had to feed it.
What?
But they had to feed her.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. You're asking a very good question. I don't know. There's a chazal that says they were all wealthy. We learn from the few of them. That's a dover ashe b'chlal to teach us in general they were wealthy. You'll find instances where you find they were pleading for bread.
No, it was important. Just like when you're looking for judges in the Torah, you know, the standard said you want them to be independently
wealthy.
So that they are not
under pressure.
As judges, and the same thing you could say about
Nevi'im. Let's go further. Navi next. Now we go to a very fascinating Chazal. Navi shaloi nispare shem. Now we have a general rule. Every time we have in Tanakh the mention of a Navi, sometimes it tells us their father's name, and sometimes it does not tell us their father's name. So Chazal tells us whenever the pasuk says the Navi and his father's name, that automatically means that his father was also a Navi. Navi shaloi nisparit shem aviv v'yadua she'en aviv navi. His father was not navi, but chutz me amos she'aviv navi. And this was very unique. It does not tell us anywhere the name of the father of amos. So therefore, by default, what would we suggest that amos' father was not a navi, because his father is not. So it does not fit into the rule of thumb. Yet Chazal say he was the exception. Why? Because of this pasuk, loy navi anoichi, v'loy ben navi anoichi, and since we know that he was a navi, we know he was a navi because we have Sefer Amos. So too, when he says v'loy ben navi anoichi, means his father was also a navi. Exactly. So therefore, b'yidush of navi chuz v'amos of navi, v'avol pishloy nisparish nema v'yan Amos v'yem la'lamatzil loy navi anoichi v'loy ben navi anoichi k'shem shu navi v'amayin a navi kachav navi v'yamar einoy. Ein aviv navi.
So, in other words, you take half the sentence.
It's a gilui, right? The same way when he says lo navi anoichi, it certainly cannot be taken literally, because it has to be that he is a navi. What he means is, it's not. I wasn't trained. They don't do it for money. All of the different interpretations that we learned before. But he is a navi. So too, when he says lo ben navi anoichi, you have to say exactly the same thing, that the father really was a navi. And when he says lo ben, it means my father was also not trained. He also did not do it for parnasa. He also was done to him against his will. But was he a real navi? Yes, because we have to be consistent in the meaning of the word lo ben navi anoichi. That's a very interesting Maamar Chazal. It was the exception. Okay, so that concludes the Maamar Chazal. Now let's go back and do the chidah. Okay, let's do the chidah. Chidah going back to pasuk yud on page 349. Koshar olecha amos. Amasya says that amos has formed a conspiracy. Amur azal dehamelech lahita oizem ledvarav lekach boachakach kach lo amos b'derech eitzah sheyivrach. Okay, he's just coming to explain the sequence of events. We've not yet learned this part. In the next parak, he told him to run away. He did not accept, well, maybe he's referring to Amatzia. This is like a Pshut Shal Mikra. That he tried, the king did not accept Lashon Hara, and therefore that's why he did not give permission to kill him, and that's why he was advised at least run away that the people should not rise up and kill you. Okay, there are no more chaimas anoch. Now there's only left is the mincha gedoyla, which we will leave in Yirtzah Hashem for tomorrow.